You're listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, a conversation between two great friends with over 70 years ministry between them. Ministering on opposite sides of the border, Dr. Al Stone pastors the Bible Baptist Church in St. Thomas, Ontario, Canada, while Pastor Dan Wolven pastors the North Columbus Baptist Church in Columbus, Ohio. Listen now as Al and Dan review and relate their experiences in hope of helping others who are taking an interest in ministry. Now, here is Tim Talks.
Welcome to Tim Talks. Oh, Brother Wolven, another week and a few sniffles and maybe the odd cough. Having a rough time.
Yeah, you can't shake this. You sound like you're not even better from last week.
Well, I feel better. I feel much better. But yeah, still a little plugged up and got the cough and oh, it's terrible. It's really hanging
on. Man, but
on.
You look terrible.
I do look terrible.
And we're not even on FaceTime.
If you can see it from there, things are really bad. Things are getting desperate over here. Oh, it's that time of year. I hate it. The only good thing about winter is Christmas. That's the only good thing. Man, wow.
Well, if you love the outdoor sports, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, the snowmobiling, skiing, and all of that stuff. But
yeah, but who likes that? Nobody I know.
Yeah, if you're living in the city, you're not really going to go snowmobiling very much down the street.
No, no. I do enjoy the indoor winter sport of hockey. I still enjoy that, but I'm not playing this year. I'm because I'm transitioning. I decided not to play. I'm kind of heartbroken. I don't know. I may still be able to get in. Maybe I can pick up a couple games.
Well,
I don't know.
Your schedule's going to pick up real fast.
Well, I hope so. I hope so for sure. I've had some calls for meetings, and man, it's been awesome. And
Good.
If anybody's got an opening, Al Stone is available. I still got a few spots open, so yeah, give me a call. That'd be great. That'd be awesome. So
hey, while we're talking about these kind of things, how's your next trip to Israel shaping up?
We are full. We're full.
Awesome.
Yeah, we filled up. Yeah, I'm excited. But we're going to start setting up for 2020. And if we have folks that want to go, we'd love to take them with us. And if you need any information, you can go to www.hbcberrie.com/Israel. Information's on there. I don't know if we have the 2020 update on there, but the 2019 is on there, and it'll be very, very close. So give a look. That'd be great. Are you coming with us? You going to come in 2020?
It depends. I would love it. We went last year, and it was just phenomenal. The people in our church are still talking about it.
Yeah, it's a tremendous trip. I urge every Christian to try and go. It's an expense for sure. It costs some money. We're this year at $3,200 all-inclusive per person, and it sounds like a lot until you try to book an all-inclusive on an island or something like that. It can add up. But this is not only it's not really a vacation. It's a holiday, but it's a learning experience, and it is a life-changing experience for sure.
It's a spiritual journey is what it is.
Yeah. Well, as a pastor, what would you say, to other pastors who have folks that would maybe want to go?
Well, I can just let you know that last Sunday night, I was talking to one of the ladies in our church, and we, you know, the leftover effects of Thanksgiving, and she said that she was thankful. She's a single mother. Her youngest child is near graduating, so she was able to leave and children being okay. But she was just mentioning that she was so glad that she went. That's one of the things that she's so thankful for, is to be able to go there and to see the Bible come to life.
Right.
And she was mentioning, she said that she had one other situation she could deal with financially, and it wasn't like she wasn't paying bills or something, but she said a couple of friends said, go ahead and go, and that was like what tipped her over the edge, and she was so glad that she did. So as a pastor, you know, your people love seeing these things, and the next time you start preaching on a place that they saw, they'll be able to envision it. It is a great blessing. And it's a good opportunity to get to be around your own church people, too.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, let me encourage you to go. And pastors, if you'd like to go, we have an opportunity for you to go at a much reduced rate. In fact, we have an opportunity for you to go free. If you'll contact me and let me know, we'll help you with that. We do that for pastors because, number one, it benefits the whole church. And number two, it allows you to be able to do something that most pastors would not be able to do. And it allows you to be able to spend some quality time with some of your people. So if you are interested in that, please contact me. You can email me at dralstone@gmail.com. No period, just D-R-A-L-S-T-O-N-E at gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. Well, that's Brother awesome. Wolven, I've over the last, I'd say few years, my kids have come into their own. And they're adults living on their own. And they've started searching the scriptures. I love it. They've brought on Sunday for lunch. We have Sunday lunch every Sunday if we can. They've brought with them some very hard questions. I don't know if you get those too.
Yes.
But people bring me questions. I don't necessarily have the answer, and we won't have an answer maybe today. But I want to ask some of those questions so that people can know that there are hard questions, that you can ask hard questions, and that there are some answers to hard questions. And as pastors, we need to be prepared to try and answer those as best we can.
And yeah, sometimes you have to work through those questions on your own. Sometimes you have to, you're not going to be able to look up one verse and say, there you go. You've got to really spend some time in prayer, seeking God for wisdom, asking the Spirit to give direction. So I don't know about you, Pastor Stone, but every time someone in our church or any other Christian would say, can I ask you something? I pray right then. I mean, I pray silently right then. And I've joked around saying, that I've used it as an illustration in the pulpit. People say, can I ask you something? And I'll start praying inside. And then, they'll say something like, do you think Ohio State's going to be Michigan or something? Something that is a non-spiritual. And I thought, I almost wasted a prayer.
Oh, for sure. Hey, speaking of Ohio State, beat Michigan. You beat Michigan. Big game. Big upset, right?
Oh, was it? We're so used to that anymore.
That's true.
Hardly paid attention.
That's true. Sorry, man. Sorry, Michigan fans. I didn't mean to bring that up. Well, let me throw some of these questions at you that people have asked me. And again, we may not have an answer today, but we can sure try to point you in the right direction.
We'll discuss them together.
Yeah. So here's the first question that I hear a lot, mostly from unsaved people, but there's some Christians who ask too. Why does God allow children to be abused, starved, or to get cancer and die? Why do those things happen? Why does God allow that? He loves children. We love children. They're innocent. Why would a loving God allow those things to happen? Hard question.
Well, I would almost want to say, why does God force people to do wrong? And it's almost the same question. God has allowed us to have a free will. I don't like the word free, but we do have a will.
Right.
And
right.
So God does not impose his will, yes, certainly on creation as a whole, but God's will is that all men would come to repentance. As far as why God would allow it, man is the cause of it. It's almost like saying that it's God's fault that something happened whenever it's man that's doing it.
Yeah. I know people would want to know why didn't God intervene in that, though? Why wouldn't he stop that? And we understand God's will. I understand it completely. But that is tough. I'm going to be honest. That's a tough thing for people to grasp. It's a tough thing to try and answer that and to give people a satisfactory answer. And I say the same thing as you, that, it's sin. It's sin that causes that. That is not God's plan. That is not God's will, that people would be that way, in his perfect will, I should say. But in his permissive will of allowing man to have that choice, we have to understand that God's either got to give that choice or he doesn't give that choice. And I think there are times when God does intervene. I think there are people that come along. I think sometimes God uses those experiences to help people later on And we don't always follow every story. We see the one story, or we, you know, hear of one tragedy, and we don't follow that through. So very difficult. I tell people, God is love. God loves us. God does want what's best for us, but man gets in the way of that. That's the problem.
You know, I guess you could detour a little bit into the sovereignty of God. Although God is sovereign, he does not cause everything to happen. His foreknowledge, he knows what will happen, and because of him knowing what will happen, we don't. And so what we may think right now is a tragedy, and I'm not making light of any of those things that you mentioned.
Absolutely.
But sometimes when great difficulty happens, comes into our life, we turn and we're looking for something, and oftentimes it turns them to Christ. I think of the believers who must have cried out in prayer. I mean, they prayed when Peter was in prison, and they prayed all night. And can you imagine how they felt whenever their family members and friends and fellow believers, church members, were thrown into prison? And I'm sure they prayed many times that Saul would leave them alone. And he was not on their welcome list, that's for sure. But God knew that Saul was going to come to him. So, you know, God's foreknowledge and of course, his zeal that he had. I mean, when it became a holy zeal, and many times even in the scriptures he mentioned that he had made havoc of the church, and it grieved his heart, and I think it propelled him to do even greater things. So God's foreknowledge is not the same as God's sovereignty and the fact that God does not cause things to happen.
Yeah, I have two situations where you can see how the outcome can be much different. I know a girl that was taken advantage of by a Christian school teacher when she was about 12 years of age. For 2 years, he manipulated her and another girl into doing sexual things with him. And it devastated the one girl. She struggled through life. She's had great difficulty. She knows she's saved, but she doesn't go to church. She struggles with that. She struggles with why God would allow that to happen. The other girl got through it and has had some struggles, but in church, you know, maybe not as much or as intense as I'd like. And so that's the result of the one. Then I just met two super young ladies. I was preaching over on the East Coast of the United States, met two young ladies, and I was talking to the one girl, and I said, "Now remember, all men are pigs except for your dad and your grandpa and your pastor." And laugh, you know, I kind of joke with girls about that. And this girl said, "Well, I don't have a dad and I don't have a granddad." And I said, "What happened to your grandpa?" And she said, "Well, he passed away." And I said, "What happened to your dad?" And she goes, "Well, he's in prison." Oh, my heart stopped. And so her older sister came to me a little later and said, "Pastor, I want you to know that was a great blessing to me that you did that. My sister's really had a hard go." And I said, "Yeah." I said, "How are you doing?" And I said, "With your dad, you know, being in jail." And she said, "Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm the reason he's there. He molested me." And it happened even, she was a little bit older when it happened. So, but they are so loving and doing so good and serving the Lord. Just incredible. So, you know, not everybody's completely devastated and stop living life. They go on. And all of those girls, I would say, have been advocates for protection of children, protection of children in churches. So that's been good. And God's used that for some good things. And they've been able to counsel some people for me that I could not necessarily do. So sometimes those bad things become great things by God using it to help someone else.
That's a terrible event. That certainly is. And boy, my heart goes out to them.
Yeah.
And, you know, God has he has given protection for children. You know, the Bible says that the governor, the one in charge, the leader, the government bears the sword. I mean, it's a servant of God. It's a servant of God for good. It should be. That's God's design for government. God's design for the home is that the dad should be protecting. But, you know, go to one of those servants when there's a problem and seek that protection. That I can understand why somebody would say something like that. Where was the Lord? How come he didn't protect me? And you cannot point your finger at a 12-year-old girl and say, well, you should have known better. I mean, when somebody wicked like that just manipulates the things, you know.
Absolutely, absolutely. What kind of hard questions do you get? Give me one that maybe you've gotten.
Well, of course, the general question is, how could God allow those things to happen? Just like what you had mentioned, you know, as though God was the cause. I guess some of the questions that we get are more, a little bit different, more cerebral from some of the young people at Ohio State. That want to really question the authority of God, you know, that they want to question that the difference between God's sovereignty as far as being a cause. For example, in prophecy, there was the prophecy that Rachel would be mourning and weeping for her children, but they are not, and so she could not be comforted. It's a prophecy that God knew that that wicked King Herod would kill all those boys 2 years old and under. Yet God prophesied it. And whenever we think of the innocents, we think of the people that are unable to defend themselves. And the question that I get a lot from that kind of a situation is, how could God even prophesy something like that whenever it's something that's going to be wicked? Talk about the Antichrist in Revelation, as though that God should step in and insert himself. So pretty much close, same question that you're getting there.
Yeah, I can see that. Here's another one I've gotten that's tough. How do Christians get to a place where they do very wicked sin? How do, if you're in a church and maybe a Christian family, how do some people get involved in such wicked sin? I think of, and I guess you have to question, first of all, their salvation. Are they really saved? But I've known some Christians who I believe were good Christians involved. I can think of a man that was a deacon, a couple of men that were deacons, spiritual leaders, and today not living for the Lord, back in the world, involved in some pretty bad things. How does that happen?
Boy, that's a good question. The first verse that comes to my mind is, "Let him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall." You know, when we get to the point of hearing that someone else has done something, someone else has been living in an atrocious manner, reprehensible to the things of the Lord, you know, to start getting puffed up and thinking, well, I'm never going to wind up doing something like this. That's the first thing that I think of is, God help me. Lord, I know my flesh. I know my sin. I know my weaknesses. Lord, I don't ever want to fail of your grace in such a manner. So I don't want to start small.
Yeah. Well, listen, our time has fleeted by us. And I'm gonna say this to that question. This isn't Bible. And it's a quick answer because our time's gone. Maybe we pick it up in our next podcast. But the best of men are men at best, right? So it doesn't matter who you are. You're still a man. You're still flesh. You're still weak. You still need to trust in the Lord. And sometimes I think we get to a point where we think we are invincible spiritually. And that's when real, like you said, take heed lest you fall. That's when troubles really come. Wow, some hard questions, and we'll pick up some more hard questions in our next podcast. From St. Thomas, Ontario, Canada, it's Brother Al Stone saying, it's Tim Talks, and now it's Tim Time. Take what you've heard and use it this week.
You've been listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, with new podcasts added each Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. To learn more about your hosts, Dr. Al Stone and Pastor Dan Wolven, you can visit us at timtalks.com. That's TIIM talks.com.